You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties, but now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's kick off this episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you, our amazing, loyal listeners, who is using our hashtag on Instagram. Instagram. Hashtag, on my tongue, STR Share Sunday. And if you use that hashtag, we are prowling. We will find you. We will share you here in the podcast on our email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing on the Instagram. Or how would you? I can't even say
Instagram.
It. Instagram. It was funny. Okay. At the Hideaway Mason Lake. Again, at the Hideaway Mason Lake. And a couple of things I want to chat about this property. Number one, they've done a wonderful job of weaving in throughout their Instagram specific available dates. And I love that. They'll say, hey, September, 8th through 10th. Actually, let's say September 24th through 26th. We have availability of our conference if you haven't bought a ticket yet.
Oh, I like that plug.
But they'll give a specific date and let people know there is an availability alert. I like that availability alert. And that the calendar is booking. So do not delay. So they're giving you very specific time frame, thinking, do we have opening? Yes, let's go that weekend. And a sense of urgency because they're like, hey, our calendar's filling up, like get it while you can. So if you're looking for some content to weave in, do that every now and then. Give a specific 3-night stay, let people know, hey, these are the dates. Maybe people know, oh, that's my birthday, my spouse's birthday, whomever, it's something they want to celebrate. I have that time off work. But give people that very specific date. I love that they're doing that. And hey, we know we only have 365 days, so get them booked. I love that they're doing that. The other thing is, again, weaving in content. They're putting this reviews that they're getting, whether they're handwritten or they're typed, they are putting those reviews out there so people can see that also. So if you're not putting reviews as posts, please go ahead and do that. And then last but not least, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And Sarah loves one specific thing. It is their outdoor
sauna barrel. I want one.
Yes. And I believe people probably would book the property if they were like,
if sauna barrel, no sauna barrel.
Yeah, you're going to go with the sauna barrel plus a sauna barrel with a view. So well done at Hideaway Mason Lake. Thank you for using our hashtag, and we can't wait to share one of you on our next SDR shares. Sarah, let's talk about this episode.
It is good, listeners. It's important, listeners. This episode is going to open up your mind to all sorts of people who are staying with us. We don't always know, especially if you have a larger place and you cater to large families that have many different aunts and uncles and cousins staying, we need to make sure that we're being more inclusive so that people who are choosing to stay with us can all have a comfortable and, most importantly, a safe stay. And this isn't the safety topic we talk about with Justin Ford from Breezeway. This is safety as it relates to children who are on the autism spectrum. And I don't have any family members that have alerted me to them being on the spectrum. And so therefore, I don't know about this. And so as a host, it is my job to open my mind up to everyone who is staying with me. And today on the podcast, we have Suzanne Hacker, who has made it her mission to make vacation rentals and short-term rentals more safe for children on the spectrum. Suzanne is also making it her mission to help us hosts become more friendly to people who are on the autism spectrum. She has launched spectrumfriendlyvacations.com. We will put that link in the show notes. And this is where you can get certified for your property to be friendly. And she'll give you a badge that you can share on your direct booking website. You can also say that you are certified. We asked her if we could be affiliates for this while sharing it with all of you listeners. Should you use code TFV when you go to her website to become certified? Any sort of affiliate commission, thanks for visiting, makes off of that purchase, we will give back to the autistic community and really to help forward research and all those sorts of good efforts there. So we really hope you take this episode, take those tips from Suzanne, but also become certified and just do yourself a favor as a host and make yourself more well-rounded, more open, more inclusive. And we can't wait to hear what you think about today's episode because it's going to really enhance your rentals. Suzanne, welcome to the show. We are so excited to dive into this topic. Before we do, share with our audience a little bit more about your background and how you even came into the short-term rental space.
Sure. Well, my background is actually as a banking executive for 25 years.
And okay.
In that experience, I know, right? In that experience, I did lending, whether it was mortgage lending, consumer lending, small business lending, as well as overseeing 17 locations in a couple of different states. And I loved that career, but through acquisitions, that career ended. And then I was able to start investing in real estate after that. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do for a little while, but it was something I always wanted to do. But when I had that career, I didn't necessarily have the time now to do that at that time. So I started to do that and launched a vacation rental business and got hooked like I know so many people do. And it was just that hospitality side, as well as seeing property increase in value and put money in my pocket. Hey, it worked for me.
You say a short-term rental business, vacation rental business. Did you start with one home? Was it a property management business? How did it actually get started?
Yeah, started with the home because I believe it's not a hobby, it's a business. And I think a lot of times women can be even more successful if they do treat it as a business. And so I always called it a business, no matter if I had one, two, or five.
Love it. Okay, so you started with one. And what was the location of that? What area of the world?
That was near Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. That was actually kind of on the other side of the lake from there. I know, right? Yeah, it was great. Couple blocks from the beach, people were able to walk there, you know, so it was fabulous. I mean, we loved having the home and it was a nice two-story Dutch colonial and it worked out. It worked out really well. And then I bought a house in Lake Geneva and completely remodeled that one because that's also something I really love to do is remodeling and a bit of DIY and design and decor and stuff too. So started doing that. And then I decided I didn't want those cold winters anymore. So I didn't want to wait till I was 70 to move to Florida. So sold houses and moved and then started again. So bought another vacation rental in Florida last year and then also started to co-host for other people.
Oh, wow. So you're co-hosting now too. I didn't know that piece, Suzanne. And so how do you spend your days these days then? Is it truly like managing these rentals, but you're also very passionate and you are leading up truly a movement of accessibility, but it's a very specific niche of accessibility. So share with us what that is and why this is near and dear to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I also coach other people. I co-host, have my own, but I have really good friends and also family members who are on the autism whose children are on the autism spectrum. And one of my really close friends was starting to launch a vacation rental last year. And she happens to have two children who are also on the autism spectrum. Actually, like one in 44 children every year now is diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. And it was interesting because she's back in Wisconsin. And while I had my vacation rental there in Wisconsin, her little four-year-old at the time was also nonverbal. One evening during family movie time, she slipped out of the house. And wandering is a very common situation in families with autistic children. It's called wandering or eloping, where children often leave their home. And they're pretty smart kids. You know, these kids are, while they're on the autism spectrum and they may not be able to verbalize things, they're still pretty smart. So unfortunately, she slipped out of the home. It wasn't realized that she had left for a while, maybe an hour to 2 hours, until it was time to put the kids to bed. And that's when my friend, she first called her husband, and then she called 911, and her husband called me. And it was Ninny. That's her name for short. Her name is Trinity, but Ninny for short. So Ninny was missing. So she had decided to walk to the beach and fortunately was found by someone, very kind person, who did also call 911. But because this was their second home, which she was working on turning into a vacation rental, the children weren't part of the school system or anything like that. So it was a little difficult for them to find out exactly where Ninny belonged until she called 911. So that is one of the things that will always be in my brain, is getting that call late one evening that Ninny was missing. And then so when I had one of my first guests in my new Florida vacation rental, it was how we all have those electronic keypad locks on our doors, or most of us do. Well, during one of the family stays that I had, all of a sudden I kept getting pings on my watch about my alarm, or the keypad, if you will, and the lock. And I all of a sudden I went, oh no, a child is, I could just tell, you know, a child was sitting there like locking, unlocking. And it just dawned on me that if that was the only lock I had on the inside of that home, that was not going to be good enough for a family that might have an autistic child, because that is not going to keep them inside the home. And it was at that moment that I had just that moment of clarity. Like, we have these in so many vacation rentals around the country that it is not good enough. And it scared me enough that I had to sit down and write down an outline. And I sent it to my friend who was turning her home into a vacation rental. And I sent it to her. And she immediately read it and she answered me back. And she just said that she was just crying because she didn't know how she was going to explain to future guests all these things that she had in her home to make her children safe. And it was because of that game changer night, as she calls it, when Ninny slipped out, that they had to implement all sorts of different safety things. So that's what started it for me. And I know that's probably a longer answer than you expected, but that's kind of the backstory to that.
Those are the stories that stick with you when you don't have those personal experiences that help you become a better host and think about people who may not, about who are experiencing things that I have yet to experience in my life. So I will never forget that story of Ninny. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That particular moment, and you were saying you're going through your home, she was going through her home. Did you start to do research on what is a spectrum-friendly vacation rental? How, like, do hotels have these? Can you give us some of the background on what would make, like, let's get dig into the how us as hosts, how can we implement spectrum-friendly, educate us right now on how we can prevent these moments from happening. So what does that checklist look like? What did you start to go into of like research on how can I make my vacation rental? Because here's where I know a lot of our listeners are probably going to have like, wait, I know there's a checklist, but like, how can we actually tell guests like what makes us for sure spectrum friendly? Because there's obviously a huge safety element too. So can you just kind of unpack all of the things that would be required to become spectrum friendly.
Before, just in case, Suzanne, can we, for any listener who may not have an understanding of what it truly means to be on the spectrum, could you also first share that and then go into what Annette asked for, just in case anyone's like, I've heard this, but I haven't yet experienced or know anyone in my life who is on the spectrum.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I mentioned before kind of that statistic about 1 in 44 children are diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. It is called a spectrum disorder, though, because it has such a wide range from being nonverbal, wandering or eloping, having gastrointestinal problems, the stimming, as it's known. You may see children do that. The verbal, a little bit, maybe more verbal outbursts, the sensitivity to noises, even sensitivity to certain colors or certain lighting. There's so many different things, unfortunately, that are in that spectrum disorder that it's really hard to just say, like, well, it's just this or it's just this. It can even just be, some of them have a huge sensitivity to certain fabrics they can't wear in the tags. I mean, I hate tags too, but their sensitivity to it is a lot more. There's just certain things that they end up kind of all coming together, I think, for doctors, physicians, and families to be like, oh, my child is on the spectrum. My partner in life, his daughter is severely autistic on the spectrum, and she was diagnosed when she was 2. A neighbor has 2 children on the spectrum. They have different learning styles, different communication. So it's, again, it's hard to quantify, but a lot of times they can get a diagnosis when they talk to their physician as early as 2 years old.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I did have some personal experience, you know, from family and friends and neighbors, but I sat down and yes, I started to research, like, first of all, what is all considered to be on the autism spectrum? What are some common, if you want to call it, features of, you know, a child with autism, and what do they maybe do more commonly that would be a safety issue, first of all? Because my first fear is that safety concern for families, because it's one thing for your child to elope or wander when you're at home and you know the neighbors. But if you're in a strange city and you don't know anybody and the police don't know you or anything either, to have your child leave the house in the middle of the night is, that's to me the biggest thing, you know, and making sure that we have better locks and alarms in the home, first of all, and that every door and even windows have either a lock or an alarm on them that a parent can set if they want to. To me, those are like the biggest things. And I offer a training through Spectrum Friendly Vacations that first teaches vacation rental owners or hosts about what autism is and what some of those triggers are. And we go through things even like the lighting, the room darkening curtains, because they can have that sensitivity to light, having night lights in the home. What all are some good things for safety and comfort then too? So we go through that in the training. The training would take somebody probably an afternoon to really go through the training. You can make a property spectrum friendly in an afternoon, typically, depending on the size of it and if there's things that you need to like change, because there are trigger colors too that can really set a child off too. So we cover that in the training. But you can make it spectrum friendly in an afternoon and typically for less than $500. Make sure, first of all, that your doors do not only have that little deadbolt lock. Make sure that there is some kind of additional security lock, like higher, where a small child can't unlatch it. You see them in a lot of hotels, the security lock that's up high. Okay. That's the first simple thing that can be done to keep the children safe. The next thing would be, consider there's small alarms that can be put on doors and windows that can actually just be like toggled on or off so that they can be used if you have a family with an autistic child, but they don't need to be, but they're there that, and they typically know if they see these, they know, you know, what they're for. They know how to use them. They're not difficult to install on any door and window, especially ones, you know, that are easily accessible for children.
Okay.
The next thing I would say was make sure that your furniture is anchored to the wall, please. Mm. You know, I think we often forget it's pretty, you know, it's matches the decor, all that fun stuff that we all love to do with our vacation rentals. But please make sure that it's anchored to the wall, because they don't have the same fears that a lot of other children might have. And they're going to be little monkeys, and they're going to be climbing up on furniture that you may not even have thought that they would. And it can easily, a lot of them can easily like tip over on top of them. So please make sure furniture is anchored to the wall.
That's a great safety tip.
I'll go on for a couple more. The room darkening curtains is one of those things that I would ask, please have them in the bedrooms. And I think the last thing that I would say right now is for hosts to think, sometimes we're like, oh, they moved the furniture. You know what? Sometimes they move the furniture for good reason. Or if somebody wants to come in and they, I had one of the parents that I talked to recently, they were taking their first family vacation in like 5 years because they have a child on the spectrum. And she had been messaging back and forth with the host. And one of the things that she was planning to do is as soon as they arrived, she was going to go in first, get anything that was breakable and see if she could put it up away in closets or something like that, so that she was being a good guest as well. So it's like being open to some of those conversations with our guests. It's okay if they want to move things because it might have a, might be a really good reason and they want to protect your stuff. Mm-hmm. Or if they need to move, push a bed over, it's not because they didn't like where it was. It's they needed to make room for their child to actually not sleep on the bed because it's not safe for them to do so. So those are some things, is to be open to that.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
You mentioned also, I think, some potential paint colors or fabrics. Are there some that are just like, hey, just steer clear from these, whether, you know, if they're just listening to the episode and maybe they're in that decision-making process of some of the stuff that they're going to do. Are there some that are like, let's just keep the lid on that bucket of paint and return it or not even buy it in the first place?
Yes, please don't use red paint. That's the very first one. Red is a trigger color. Even like those oranges, please don't do a nice big wall that's with those colors, because yes, those can unfortunately trigger an autistic child and they're not going to be as calm as they might be with a pale blue or a pale pink or something like that. The neutral colors are definitely best.
As you're talking about this subject, what are hotels? Are you familiar at all with like, how are hotels handling this and like, how are they marketing it? Because I'm sure you looked to the hotel industry when you were researching this to bring to vacation rentals. What's some of the stuff that they are doing or that you've seen?
I did research it, and there is actually some training to make your or help your resort to be autism friendly. Unfortunately, what they're mostly focused on is the interaction piece with the guests. And for their employees to be able to help recognize when a child may be autistic versus other children. And it's they're more training them in those interactions with the guests and not necessarily the training that I'm talking about with making the actual property safe and for them to not be able to escape or wander from those. So that's what I found in the training that I found.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
How can hosts effectively share with potential guests that their properties are safe for autistic children to stay at? What kind of words should they use in their listings, or what has worked for you and the people that you've helped to make that effective and clear to a potential guest?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the first one is that if somebody goes through the training and then they actually send us that evidence that they've made their property spectrum friendly, we have like a digital badge that they can put on their direct book listing, if you will, or their website if they have it. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. We've developed a little bit of signage that they can use if they want to, that lists kind of different things that have been done in the property, show that it's friendly, safe, and comfortable for families with autistic children. So there are some of those things that we've already developed that, you know, we would love to share, obviously, with people that have made their homes that way. Other than that, using words like autism friendly and actually specifying things that have been done in the home are fabulous. Even if you don't get my training, making sure that your property is safer for families like that is fabulous.
And when you have a family who comes to stay, obviously the family doesn't have to disclose, right, that their child is on the spectrum. What rules are you seeing hosts change to be more inclusive? You mentioned the furniture moving and being more open to why furniture might be moved. And so we could change our language to, if the furniture needs to be moved for the safety of your stay, please let us know so we can help you make the best decision in case there's something they don't know. Like that bed will, I don't know, needs to be, this needs to be, the brick needs to be undone in order to move it. But anything else in your, in the past year or so that where you've made this your niche that we can think about as hosts where we can be more inclusive?
I think it is even just using some of those words, inclusive stays, letting people know some of the additional maybe comfort items that if they want, they can, we can make available things like bed rails. I have a goodie basket that I recommend that people put to make it more comfortable with things like the noise canceling headphones, fidget toys, those weighted blankets, those types of things that they're not necessarily needed, but they're great to make families, you know, more comfortable. So to list things like that in the actual listing on the website, in the finders when, or on touch day or things like that when they're actually in the vacation rental are, it's just one more way. And I think it's partly, you said, just making sure that it's communicated in there. I love how you worded that actually with, if you need to move anything for the comfort or safety of your children, to please let us know and we're happy to help. You know, if you need a bed rail installed or a bed moved before you stay, again, please let us know and we're happy to help accommodate.
My largest takeaway so far is because I think as hosts, when we come into our home and the furniture is moved, we are like fuming of like, what? And I know every listener is like, yep. Like we like, whoa, like we can't even fathom. And I feel very non-inclusive and small-minded now, not even recognizing, because I've seen it several times and I'm always like, why would they? And I try to figure out like why they configured it the way that they did. And like, now I know, like I'll never be able to answer those because that's that is special to not only their potentially their family, but whatever that person, whatever their needs are and their wants during their stay. I know it can be frustrating because a lot of times, like let's say you or you have your turnover team, it's like, oh my gosh, like that's normally where it comes from, is like, oh wait, I can't move this furniture back now because like I don't have the enough hands to do it. But I think just, you've given me a pause now of like not to maybe do that like infuriated. Why did I move the furniture? Now it's like, wait, because it's not easy to move furniture. And I don't think they're just doing it for fun and to like just rearrange your house. But now you've just shed some light on why that may have happened. So I do want to thank you for that, because sometimes I think we get very like zoned in on that. And now it's like there probably was a really great reason for them wanting to rearrange. Do their own rearranging of the space, yes, during their stay. Oh, that's good.
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand. I had my cousin come and stay at my vacation rental here in Florida, and her son is severely disabled. And there, so there were some things, of course, mm-hmm. that I was even looking, all right, what can I do to help to just make this a little easier for their stay? You know, it's moving the bed to the wall so he can't roll out of bed, mm-hmm. the bed rail, you know, a small little ramp. These aren't big deal things, you know, but small little ramp to help the wheelchair to get in the house a little bit better because there's a little lip. They deal with it all the time at home, but I didn't want them to deal with it when they're on vacation. So it's just little things, I think, that we can all do better.
Have you noticed the OTAs at all getting on board with this sector of inclusivity with stays?
I've seen it a little bit more with like just general disabilities, especially involving wheelchairs and older people and handrails and bathrooms, and them wanting to really put a little bit more emphasis on that. But I haven't seen anything yet when it comes specifically to autism.
Yeah, we need to do something about that. It's good that they're making progress, obviously, but sharing with them that there are so many other people who have special needs when they come and say, especially vacation rentals. We've spoken to other designers and educators in the space of inclusivity, and it's just so special when they go and stay in a vacation rental home, when they've chosen your home to stay at, especially because travel can be such a unique, not doesn't happen every summer because of the special arrangements that need to be made. And so, right, we all in this business to make their travel more fun and more comfortable. And so as hosts, if there's anything you can do, if anyone's listening right now, to help bring this topic to light, or to if you, maybe you have a local group that you meet with, or you're in a Facebook group, and just to start these conversations about how we can bring this to the forefront. And just, I mean, right, I feel like after I'm gonna get off this call, I need to go get more of those chain locks on all the exterior doors.
Those
that's
are,
so easy.
And that's not just, like, so many of the things that you've mentioned also, it's not just for, I mean, to be spectrum friendly is obviously enough, but like, I'm just thinking, yes, hotels, that is that extra layer of security to just have that higher lock there. So there's some, and the room darkening, curtains, things of that nature, like that all makes sense for sure. What are you encouraging when hosts become spectrum friendly certified? Are you encouraging them to market in different places? Like, are there Facebook groups, or are there places that hosts can go to champion themselves and be their own marketing agency to pull in potential vacationers?
So far, just my Facebook group that I found, which is in the infancy stage. That's the only one that I know of yet, as far as just specifically to autism friendly. I have started one that I'm trying to open that communication between families and hosts of what things are good, what things are not good, what are some vacation rental owners or spots out there that they can vacation to. And so we've started a Facebook group called Spectrum Travel Connections. So just to kind of try to open that communication.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to link that in the show notes.
So you were mentioning like that these are things that they're not just specific to autism, which is totally true, because I even think about, you know, as families age and we're having maybe more of the parents living with families or traveling with families, if there's any dementia that's in, you know, the grandparents that we have, these can all help with dementia as well, because you're always worried that grandma or grandpa might leave the home when, especially when they're in an unfamiliar area. These types of things can help with that as well.
Yeah, that's such a good point. These are all, I mean, the safety of all of us, truly. I mean, maybe we won't venture out without knowing, but having the front door and the interior alarms and just giving people that option, I think isn't a bad option to mm-hmm. give for everyone.
For any guest.
Is there anything we haven't touched on, Suzanne, that you think we should talk about before we share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Really, just what's on my heart is just a month and a half ago, here in Florida, there was a family staying at a vacation rental. They rented through VRBO. And unfortunately, during the night, little Evelyn slipped out, and she was 4 and autistic, and she did slip out of the home, and their story did not end well. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, it just made me even more like, I need to reach out to more people like you two that can help me get this out so that this doesn't happen again.
And let's just, I know you're using the term slipped out. When children on the spectrum slip out, is it normally through the front door? Like, what is the normal? Is it in their bedroom? Is it through the front door? What do you know of?
Yeah, it's not typically through windows, even okay. though I like to make sure, you know, you put some kind of alarm on the window. It's not typically through windows. It's typically through the door,
it is.
Through the okay. front door, especially when there's not extra locks or alarms on those. Yeah.
Okay. So we think, it sounds like to me, like the immediate take action for hosts today would be to get that secondary lock higher up away from the lock that anybody sees, you know, people use on a regular basis, getting something like the hotel style lock or what Sarah was mentioning, like the chain lock, that would hopefully cut down on the slipping out of the home. That sounds like something. And that's how much, I don't know the price point. You might know the price point on those, like how much that would even cost to purchase and then a little bit of time to install. But it sounds like that's the number one tip that
bucks.
We could do today. $20. Okay. Gotcha.
Or less. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
And super easy to install too. So even any DIYer could make sure that's safely anchored inside of your door jamb or in the casing, and just give that extra lip. Just that way, if they unlock the door and they go to open it, it's just enough to keep them inside.
And I'm even thinking, again, you know, when you're in a new environment, you're in a new place, having that layer of security too, if someone does come up and knock on the door or as a guest, that would make you feel more safe. And hey, maybe I'm not exactly familiar with the deadbolt that's at a hotel. You better believe I'm always like shutting. I'm always flipping that lock because it does make me feel a little extra layer of security. Because for instance, I don't know why we haven't thought about this before too, because short-term rental, like I know I've stated a bunch. I'm like, are they giving this code out to everybody? So let's say they are giving that code out. You could at least have that second layer of security for yourself, for your guests to feel like, look, if someone else has this code, they didn't redo it, or the maintenance person or cleaning team, at least I know that when I'm in here, I can put that secondary lock on too. So I think it has a multifaceted use there for sure.
I mean, if we could get all the vacation rentals in the country to put that extra lock on, that would make me feel so much better. And I don't know why we don't.
Right.
You know, why don't we do that like the hotels do?
No, for sure.
Don't think about it.
Well, we will now. And we'll make sure that we put some of those ideas that Suzanne shared with us on the podcast in the show notes. Where can listeners find out more about what you have to offer to really fully equip them to help all families who stay with them? What's the best place to reach out to you and to learn more?
Yeah, the best place is www.spectrumfriendlyvacations.com. That will link them to our Facebook community, our Facebook group, the pages, all those good things. So that's the best spot.
Perfect. And for anyone driving right now or on the treadmill, we've got that in the show notes for you. I can't thank you enough for the message that you're sharing with as many people as you can. We, Annette and I, are always thirsty for more ways to be more inclusive and to learn more and to open our minds. Listeners, I hope you do the same thing. I encourage you all to also go into your house rules and to your guidebooks and make sure that our language, while it's, we get some rules and we give boundaries, we are being inclusive in how we chat with our guests. I think that is also a hospitable step we can take in the right direction. So with that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, We will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.